Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Get your Bibles out, and I'm going to talk to you. Have you been encouraged over the last couple of weeks? My hands are freezing. This whole sense of what God sent us this year, Kaf Gimel 2023, that whole sense of the Lord with hands to bless, to cover your sin, hands to bless you, and that thing of potential, that where it's written into the Word, where the potential of the Word is that the Lord's saying that it's not just about you hear it and it sits there, but it's about making it real. It's about it like the Lord said over your life this year, there are things that have been dead that He is going to resurrect for you, right? Thank you. And there are things that are dead that He is going to resurrect. So it's not just about potential, it's about reality. I think that's a great word, right? And that's actually written in to the number 23 in Hebrew. So that's what it's been about. I'm going to keep referencing that as we go through the year because I believe that there is such a promise of grace over your life this year. Do you hear me? Such a promise of God's grace. And when I say God's grace, His favor, unmerited, undeserved, nothing you can do, there's nothing you can bring this morning, nothing you need to say, nothing that you need. He loves you first. He always loved you first. He didn't love you because you did anything for Him. He doesn't love you because you do stuff for Him. He loves you because He is good, right? He's faithful to you every day. Why? Because you're faithful? No, because He's faithful. That's the grace of God. That's what we throw ourselves onto every day of life. It's the only way to live. In fact, it is the gospel. There is no other gospel other than the gospel of Jesus and His work. And what we do then in response to Jesus and His work is to receive. Now, I want to talk about that today, because one of the things that I've been talking about is this whole thing of faith and grace and faith. Because if we simply think, right, some of us don't really know what it means to believe. Let me just cut to the chase. I don't want to kind of dance around the subject. The Bible is full of people who go, I've got faith. Why? Like the disciples said it, I believe, but help me with my unbelief, right? Does anyone understand what that feels like? Like, I can simultaneously go, amen, thank you, Lord, and oh my goodness, are you even alive today? Anybody? Okay, well, yeah, that's the way that it works, isn't it? Okay, and hopefully our days of being in faith are more than our days of panicking, but we all know what that's like. Whatever the moment is, whatever the situation is, for you, it'll be a particular situation, and it might be different for somebody else. But I want to talk into that because one of the keys to unlocking the word that God is speaking to you this year about seeing not just potential, but actually seeing reality is this thing of belief and believing. Do you get that? And so I thought, well, let me go to the word, because believing just simply doesn't mean I believe I can fly and all that stuff, right? Okay. Where did that come from? It's like Pastor Prince, isn't it, when he just goes into song? I love that. He probably, yeah. Stick to the speaking. You know why? Stick to the speaking. I've totally forgotten what I was going to say. Yes. But it's like believing is actually the key. So let me, we're going to look at Abraham this morning. Because Abraham is the father of faith, isn't he? Yeah, well, if you don't know that, Abraham is a father. Just, he's in the Bible. You might want to pick it up every now and again. It's reasonably helpful for life, you know. This book, all about Jesus and God. And so in the Bible, all the way back in the book of Genesis, you see God's heart. I mean, there's a covenant that He enters into with Abraham, and it's a covenant of faith. It says actually in Romans 4, I think we've got the verse that Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So Abraham was made righteous with God, not through any law, because this was years, hundreds of years before the law was given. Okay? So before anything happened, God speaks to Abraham. Abraham responds by going, I believe. And then God said, right, because you believe, it's now righteous. So the key then is, what did it look like for him to believe? Do you get that? Because some of us are probably sitting thinking, Lord, yes, I want to see the open hands of God this year towards me in blessing. And the Lord says, that's my posture. That's what I'm speaking this word over you. But remember, your ability to choose and your ability to have free will is paramount to the Lord. He never forces anything. Do you get that? Ever. At the moment where you're forced, coerced, manipulated, or bullied into a particular situation, you have lost that which makes you essentially human, which is your free will. It's only love if you choose it. Do you get that? Well, that was deep. It's only love if you choose it. Now, if I feel like I have to, it's not love in the truest sense, right? But that free expression of I love you, God says, is what he wants. He wants us to choose him. So let's have a look at Abraham, because he's the father of faith. Abraham believed, and he was made righteous. Now, we're made righteous because of Jesus, but it was that thing of going, when God spoke, he believed. And so let's unpack it. Shall we read it in Genesis 12? It says, now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. So he's starting to speak these promises over Abraham. I'll bless you and I'll make your name great. Now you remember Abraham was about 75. His wife Sarah is rightly on as well. They've no kids. Okay, so the Lord's speaking into something here which doesn't look like it. You know, he's not saying, you know, look at everything that you've got going on. Let me just build on that. He's actually calling out something which is not even there right now and has no potential in the natural to be there. And you should be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you and I'll curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. I'm going to explain this because you need to read other bits of the Bible to get the full picture. Then Abraham took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the Terebinth tree of Morah. And the Canaanites were there in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I'll give you this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and I on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Don't mention, I don't know if you know this, but I was in Israel once. And you can actually go there where this happens with Bethel and I. You should go, it's brilliant. There he built an altar to the Lord. We should do photos one week. Have we done photos of my trips to Israel? Capture you all. Go, you know that dreaded thing when people go, do you want to see my holiday? You go, no. And called on the name of the Lord. Abraham journeyed, going on still towards the south. Now, there's a huge lesson in this that will unlock the word that God has spoken to us this year. Abraham is the father of faith. So we can look at him and figure out what it means to believe. Because the first thing to say is this. Whenever God, look at the emphasis on how God is speaking to Abraham. I will do, I will make, I will. The emphasis is on what the Lord is wanting to do for Abraham. Do you get that? Same in your life. It's not, if there's no transaction here, if you do this, I'll do this. If you do this, I'll do this. That comes under the law, right? But with Abraham, it was just, no, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to give you, you know, great promises. I'm going to cause you to be the blessing to the nations. And when Abraham hears that, what he does is he goes, right, I believe. And that is the root of it. And we've got to understand, what does that mean? God has spoken a word over your life. What does it mean to believe it? What does it mean to believe it? Because if you don't believe it, the word won't come to pass. Do you get that? It has to be received with faith. I'm going to talk about that. Let's look at some of the context behind here, because some of you might know this, but we don't actually know much about Abraham at this point. He sort of appears, right? He's the son of a man called Terah, and Terah is an idol worshiper. So Terah is not in the family of faith. Terah worships idols. So just think about the goodness of God stepping in to people who are miles away. And there's nothing about Abraham that makes him stand out. We're not given any information about him which makes us go, hey, Flip, he was brilliant. He had it all together. He's actually in an idolatrous family. It's really, really important that, because it makes the promise of God even more pronounced and more amazing whenever, even when we, the same, find ourselves in places where we're giving our lives to all sorts of stuff that we shouldn't be doing, God still says, I'm going to bless you. All right, that's the point. So He was from, do you want a wee bit of teaching here? He's from Mesopotamia. This was the area. And that's a Greek term. It means the land between two rivers. And those rivers today are the Tigris and the Euphrates. So this is all happening like modern day Iran, Iraq, okay, around there. And it was really rich and really very fertile. And because these two massive rivers helped kind of balance out the region. Now, that's important because when God's speaking, like Abraham is in a good place in terms of economically being provided for. He's in a really rich place, a fertile place, yet God is going to speak blessing even more on top of that. Now, during the time he was growing up in his father's house, right, when Abraham was growing up, there were thousands of gods and goddesses in Mesopotamia at the time. And each city actually would have like its own chief god. So that's like us going to Bangor and going, oh, like Stevie is the god of Bangor, right? And then you go to Newton Ards, right? Oh, whatever. And you bypass Newton Ards, go to Dundonald, right? Right? You go, oh, no, up the hill. And just to Dundonald, and they would have their own god and all sorts of stuff. Some of them are like Nana, who's the god of the moon, as an example. Or, you know, Enlil, and he would be the king of the earth, or the lord of the earth. And he was the god of wisdom. And so what you can see is that Abraham is in this place where, can I just say, the things that the world really values are there in plenty, but spiritually, it's kind of like almost bankrupt. Do you get the thing? It's like these two things. It's our life today. We live in some of the best. It's like the best of times and the worst of times, as Dickens described, right? For some of us. It's like, that was Charles Dickens, not the prophet or whatever you're thinking. Generally, a Charles Dickens quote. And what happens is you have these two things. We look at us. We are fairly prosperous, most of us. You know, we're sitting here this morning, fed, watered, heat, clothes on our backs, and a roof over our heads. You get that? You know, and I know that for some of us, it's easier than others. But the point is, we live in a time that is blessed. All right? However, we live in a time where spiritually, it is just a wee bit crazy out there and getting worse. Do you understand? And so it's exactly the same picture that you see in Abraham. All right, Mesopotamia, rich and fertile and all the rest of it, but just thousands of these tin pot gods, like literally everywhere you went, there was a different god and people were just giving themselves to it, right? Now, let's keep going because you can see here that Abraham struggles. Whenever God speaks a promise over your life, and because we just hear Abraham believed, he kind of laughs at the fact that Sarah is well past childbearing age and probably, I don't know, you know, like the thought of raising a family, having a family, number one, raising a family at that age probably is enough to make your eyes water, quite frankly, right? And so there's all of that stuff that we understand, but we know the end of the story and we kind of go, well, sure, it was easy. He just believed and he did it. No, he didn't. He struggled. And unless you read the other bits of the Bible, you don't see that, okay? I'm going to show you from Acts chapter 7 and from Genesis chapter 11. There was more to Abraham's story than what we see. And it will really help you because when God speaks to you about where he wants to bring you this year, what he wants to resurrect and where he wants to bring you to life, he says, believe me and I'm going to move you. You're going to actually move. You're going to actually see something happen, but you probably won't do it on a straight line. Do you get that? So let's see. So in Acts 7:24, we read that Abraham struggled actually, right? He was in Ur. And it was very advanced. They had hot water, and isn't that amazing? Back then, irrigation and all the rest of it. And so God asks him to leave, and he doesn't go from Ur, which is this place in Mesopotamia, all the way to Canaan. He stops in a place called Haran, right? And you can read that, okay? Now, why did he do that? He didn't go the whole way the first time that God asked him. He sort of heard God. It lit something in him. But he was afraid to go the full way. You ever feel like that? Like, I hear you, God. I've started out. I want to start out. But there's a point where it feels like this is too hard. I want to go there, but this is too hard. Lord, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. Anyone? Okay. So what happens is this. When God calls you this year and says, believe, right? It requires action. And action is not law, right? Action is not anti the Spirit. Action is not anti-grace. Do you hear me? We are not moving. What that would look like is, I am doing in order to get. That is law. But whenever the Lord says, here's what I'm speaking over your life, here's where I'm wanting to lead you, and our response of faith is, okay, Lord, I'm going to move towards that, that is not legalism. Do you get that? The problem is our flesh won't like it all the time. Like, think about Abraham. He had it made. He was in a rich place. He was absolutely, I mean, in a great family, all that kind of stuff, right? Worshipping idols, but everyone was doing it, okay? But he was rich. He was looked after. He was comfortable. All of that stuff. And the Lord says, move. And he only goes a little bit to start because he stops in Haran, which is about halfway there. It says, like, you know, it's like he heard God, but you know what the point is? He heard God, but he settled for what he knew. We do it all the time. We hear God, but yet we settle for what we know. And the Lord's speaking over your life this year and going, no, I'm bringing dead things to life. Believe me. I'm taking you the whole way. I don't want you to get so far and then bottle it, right? And bottle it and just settle for what you've already known. Because in Haran, it was really quite like what he had left behind. You know, it was actually, and actually what happens is he doesn't see the fulfillment of the promise that God speaks over his life in Haran. He doesn't see it. Now, why would he have stopped there? Well, it says Terah stopped there. So in Genesis 11:31, this is where you need to read a bit more of the Bible. It says, they went out from there from Ur of the Chaldeans, that's Mesopotamia, to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran, and they dwelt there. So they kind of went off, right? And it's possible Terah found a new home. Remember, Terah's the wanted to stay because it was a city. Okay, so what we know about Haran is it's a city that honored and worshipped the gods that they would have worshipped their whole life, right? Nana, the moon god, was still the god there. So essentially, you have a familiar religious scene. You've got a good economy and a location which is safe. And though, you know, when you read about this, you can't be absolutely sure why Abraham and Terah settled there, but it's probably because it felt safe to them. Safe not being better, safe just being, this is what I know. Do you get that? How many times do we settle for that just what we know? Because it's so familiar to us. And the thought of pushing on that little bit further terrifies us. Why? Because what happens is when we look forward and we can't see it, we can't feel it, and we can't touch it, we are inbuilt, okay, to keep ourselves safe. And even if it's not as good as what we know God has called us to, at least it feels safe for us. And so we settle. And all the time God is saying, no, my hands are open this year. Believe and you will see the fulfillment of the promise that I have spoken, dead things come into life, right? But so many of us just go, Lord, I want to believe that, but I can't. And see this here, what I have, it's not that it's bad. I'm not saying that, but it's just really familiar. And I'm comfortable. You know that thing of being comfortable with it? Anybody? Yeah. And so we can actually live in some dysfunction at times, because dysfunction is better than a step of faith into something which we can't see. And I really want to help. That's not believing. That's really not believing like Abraham did. Now, what happens here? In Genesis 12, that's the bit that we've just read. That's the bit where God reaffirms the call. And when he reaffirms the call, this time, and the promise, God asks him to leave the familiar behind. So he says, leave the country, leave your relatives, leave your father's household, and move, right? Believing wasn't, yes, Lord, I believe, right? Okay, isn't the Lord good? I'm going to sit now on my backside and just wait for like my spiritual lottery ticket to be cashed in. When the Lord comes to him again and speaks to him, the Lord says, move, move. Leave the familiar stuff behind and physically do something different. So what we see here is, and I'm going to bring it into the New Testament right now, I think that is a perfect view of what the Lord is saying to us. It's all done in faith. Do you get that? I'm going to explain that right now. The Lord is speaking to you about going from here to here. What are the dreams that you have in your heart? What is it that when I spoke a couple of weeks ago and last week and said, what do you see yourself called for? What do you see the purpose and the calling of God on your life? I mean, who are you standing in faith for this year, right? Because the Lord is saying it's going to require that when you hear the promise, your positive response to what God has said is, yes, Lord, lead me to where I need to go. But if we respond the other way around, which is, I'm trying to do this really simply, if we respond the other way around, which is we just sit on our backsides and go, grace, 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 we're fundamentally missing how the Lord operates. Do you want me to show you why? Let's go into the New Testament. Because the Lord leads you by promise. He sets his promise before you. Remember, it's always, I will do, I will bless, I will provide, I will heal, I will protect. God's saying, from me to you, it is my work. And all he says is, believe. Now, believing, it requires action and movement. Believing is not passive. It's not passive. And some of us have been too passive in our faith. Because we've gone, yes, Lord, I believe. Oh, this grace thing's wonderful. I can sit on my backside and take no responsibility, quite frankly, and then get disappointed with God and with others when it doesn't quite work out. And am I being too straight? No, I'm not. Because I want you to walk into everything that God has for you this year. And I'm not here to tickle your ears and just go, there, isn't it all brilliant? It's to encourage you that God is speaking greatness over you this year. He's speaking life over you. He's breaking chains. He is breaking habits. He is breaking the past. And he's saying, it might be familiar, and people stay in familiar because that's all it is. And he's going, I want you to leave there, and I want you to go to where I've called you for greatness. Amen? And so what happens, it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it is by grace you have been saved. Amen? I will, I'll do. Grace alone? Yes. But what's our part? Remember, your free will is paramount to the Lord. So it is through faith that you access grace. Do you get that? It is through faith. And what you might go, oh no, I don't really have that. I'm going to explain that in a moment. And this is not your own doing, he says here. This is Paul. It's the gift of God, right? So the grace that you have been given, and the faith that you have been given, is the gift of God. Do you get that? You've been given both. That's really important. That's why the disciples can go, I believe, using the word for faith. Help me with my unbelief, using a different word. Right? I'm going to explain it in a second. So it's not your own doing. If you're thinking this morning, I can't believe, I just don't have faith. No, you've been given faith. Your problem is your unbelief. All right? So let's get into that in a second. Not as a result of works that nobody may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works. Now, this is the Father of grace saying there is action involved in grace. There is action involved in faith. There is responsibility for you to choose faith to access grace. Do you get that? To say, Lord, my knees might quake. I might be feeling a little bit awkward. All my emotions may be going up and down like a fiddler's elbow, but I will believe, right? And then he goes on and says, which God has prepared for beforehand, that what? We should walk in them. The whole language here is action. The whole language here is responding positively because grace is his work and faith is how we positively respond to his work. Do you get that? And it starts in your heart, and it starts there, and it starts with a revelation of Jesus, and we need to keep hearing that because faith comes by hearing, by hearing, by hearing. But at some point, when we have heard, we need to do. Don't call it flesh. Don't call it anything like that. Or don't call it, you know, law. It's not. That's what the Lord says you need to do to work this out. Now, do you know the thing about God calls Abraham here? I just love the way he stuttered. I love the way he kind of went, yeah, I'm going here. And then he just found everything again that was quite familiar, so he just settled. That gives me hope. Anybody? I don't trust these people whose lives are like, you know, I just genuinely don't. These people who, how are you? Brother, I'm blessed. You know what I mean? Just, oh, it's fantastic, you know. Every day is just amazing. And, you know, the Lord's just fantastic. And me and the Lord, I just go, I would love that. But I just don't trust it all the time. Yeah? Because I know life goes like this. And that's quite all right. it's okay that you course correct 1,000 times a week, because his grace is bigger than your mess. His grace always calls you back, always provides the way back. Course correct as many times as you need. And every time you're doing a course correction, just say, thank you that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. At your worst moments of failure, confess your righteousness. And do it as many times as you need, because his grace will never run out for you. Right? And see all this kind of Instagram influencer nonsense, right? Whew, you know, it's all nonsense, right? Even spiritually speaking at times, it's nonsense. And I think, I'm sure there are people who do fantastically well, but I think the most part for us, we're living our lives like this. And grace just keeps calling us forward. Keeps, you know, it's like, you know, this is who you are, this is who you're called for, keep moving forward, keep, you know, and grace allows you to make 1,000 course corrections in a minute without ever, ever judging you, condemning you, shaming you, or saying you should be doing better. Isn't that awesome? So let me just give you a few more verses in this. It says, this thing about faith, right? It says in 2 Corinthians 4:13, since we have the same spirit of faith, and it goes down a bit, it says we speak, but it says we also believe, right? So I want to help you. You have been given faith as a gift from God today. Your state, if you like, the state of being persuaded, because to be faith, to have faith, pistis, the original word, means to be persuaded that. Now, if you put that into anything like emotions or how you're feeling as your course correcting any time, you've fundamentally misunderstood what it is. Right now, if you're in Christ and you're in a relationship with Jesus, what happens is that your state, just like being righteous, you have been given the measure of faith, right? Now, that's my state. So I can't say I don't have faith for this, Andrew, because you haven't seen what God has put in you. You need to go back and get another revelation of what he's put in you. You have been given faith. Remember, grace through faith, it is the gift of God to you. Right? Now, because I've been given faith, that's the noun, if you like. That's the state. You know, nouns, the names of things. The action, the verb, if you like, is believing. So my state is one of righteousness by faith. I have been given faith. And I can explain all these words at some other point. There's lots of different words for faith in the New Testament. And in English, we get really confused. I don't have faith. You know, they were using different words. I'll explain it maybe some other point. But essentially, our state is I am in faith, and now my action is I believe. So believing is the activity that flows from the conviction that I am persuaded that God loves me. That's what it says in Hebrews 4:2. So we don't believe in order to create faith, but believing is the action that, I guess, reveals our faith. Does that make sense? Do you want me to say that again? So we don't believe in order to create faith, because we've already been given it. But believing is the actions that we do that reveal the faith that we've been given. Does that make sense? I'm teaching you this morning. But this is where you're going to trip up if you don't see the difference. Hebrews 4:2 says this. Therefore, since a promise of remains of entering into rest, his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Right? So I guess what I'm trying to say to you is this. When the word comes to you, my hands are open, my palms are open to bless you, I'm covering your sin, I'm speaking all of those promises over your life, all the dreams, and what you're going to see is them go from potential to reality, because that's the word I'm speaking over you this year, the Lord says. Now, what you have to do today is you've got to go, right, I believe, right, I have faith for that. Now, then listen to the Lord, and as he goes, so leave the familiar behind and move. And that's the point. That will either be you replaying the same scenes this year or moving into the fullness of the promise of God over your life. That's it. Because at that point you choose. Do I settle for what's familiar, even though it's subpar, suboptimal, and probably dysfunctional? Or do I believe God, even though I can't see where it's going to end up? But I know in grace, he always leads me from grace to grace and glory to glory. The Lord never takes away, he only adds. The Lord never decreases because he's a God of increase. He never does not provide, he always provides more in quality and quantity than you could ever do by yourself. That's his promise. That's what Abraham said. Abraham was looking at a 75 or 80-year-old woman, right? Imagine that conversation. Here, love, I've heard from the Lord. Probably started at this stage of your life, going, Abraham, I've heard it all. Honestly, I've got a headache. You know, it's but you imagine, you rascal, trying it on at that age. You know what I mean? I'm kind of guessing that at 75, they've been around a few corners, is what I'm trying to say. And here's Abraham coming in going, I promise you, it was definitely God. I should try that. I'm going to try that at home, Penny. You know what, love? I just had this. It's great time with Jesus. Can I just explain it to you? Can you imagine? I tell you, that's one for the men, just for the married men, anyway. I think we're onto something there. Like, make it holy, and then there's definitely. Anyway, you heard it here first. It's funny, isn't it? And if you don't know what I'm talking about right now, thank you for being so holy. That's amazing. But do you know what I mean? Like, honestly, it was Jesus. So, he had to, you think Abraham was a man just like you and me. Do you get that? He didn't have any advantages that you and I don't have. That's why what I love about Abraham's story is we don't know anything about him other than God speaks and he responds. We're not told about his pedigree, or we're not told about his history. We just jump into a point in his life at 75 where all of the familiarity and all of all of that stuff, God is just going to speak a bigger blessing. I think that's what it comes down to. I think if you really, this year, I don't know what the Lord has spoken to you, but whenever I have said those words about God's open hand to bless, think about the things that have felt dead in your life and God wants to resurrect them. Dreams, places, all that stuff. I don't know what it is for you, all right? But the only way you'll move forward in that is if the promise of God becomes bigger and more exciting and more fulfilling than that which you're currently looking at in your hand, irrespective of how familiar it is. Do you get that? So, are we doing okay? Is this all right? I'm loving it, so there we go. So there's two things. Let me just finish. I'm going to finish off with these couple of points. There's two things happening here in the life of Abraham, and I think this is what the Lord has sent to you. I'm not going to tell you what you have to do. Do you get that? Because, quite frankly, it's not my responsibility. How you respond to what God is speaking to you is actually your thing, not mine. Do you hear that? I'm saying that kindly. I'm saying that because this is what Paul talks about when he's writing to the churches in the New Testament. He goes, part of the growing up and maturing in grace is to go, you make your choice. Like, you are loved every way, right? But make no bones about it. Where you are today is not the fulfillment of the goodness of grace in your life. It's not the fulfillment. It's a measure of, right? Length, breadth, depth, and height of God's love, God's goodness, God's favor, God's future for you, no matter what stage you're at. Now, what I'm saying to you is, or trying to encourage you is, listen to the Lord, right? As soon as the Lord speaks, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you. You're going to go, oh, crap, no. I can't do that. That's going to mean, what would that look like? And 1,000 voices chiming in your ear, pulling away at the faith that God has put in you. Because what does the enemy do, right? I can't say the expression that I normally say, but he doesn't come against you like, whoa, all right, chopping at you. He whispers in, oh, Lord. Right? I'm in a hole, stop digging. He doesn't do that. He comes alongside you quietly, and he whispers in your ear. And what does he say? Did God really say? So subtle. Did he really say? Did he say that he would do that? Did he say that he would provide? Did he say that you don't need to worry about your finances? Trust him first and all things will be added. No. Did he really say that? I tell you what we'll do. We'll just continue to live in that because at least it's familiar and at least we know it. Did he really say? Did he really say? You're not going to have the enemy, right? Because one of the things, you live safe and protected under the shadow of the wings, right? There's, you know, you got to get up and declare that in faith every day. Thank you, Lord, that I'm safe today and protected today, and so is my kids and so is my family, right? So the enemy can't do that. But what he will do is he will speak subtly and quietly to undermine the goodness of God. When we hear that voice, what it does is it raises the emotion in us for fear to settle. And the Lord says, no, 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 listen. I've got great promises for you. Do it afraid. Do it afraid. Whatever it is. Because fear is not the truth. Fear is simply your response to the situation in front of you. The emotions are simply based in what you're thinking. So do it afraid and trust God. I think, you know, when we read the story, like Abraham just gathered everything up, I think we kind of miss, I bet you like loads of times he probably was thinking, because here's the thought, he settled halfway, right? So he must have had loads of times where he went, did I really hear? What was that about? You know, it's like, what was going on there? And like, see, it's okay to have that. You know, he must have had loads of times. So he wasn't Superman, but there was two things that God was doing. Let me finish with them. Number one, he was moving him away from idolatrous surroundings. You see, when you live with those levels of idolatry in your life, okay, it was going to be a hindrance to what God was going to do in him, right? So what he was almost doing was separating Abraham from the culture that he was living in. And I don't know about you, and it's almost impossible, isn't it, to separate ourselves from culture because we're in it. It's almost like stamped upon ourselves. Some of it's just written into our DNA. There's lots of things in culture that define us or rule our thoughts and guide us. And culture and identity, it's just becoming even more messy out there in the world, isn't it? But actually what happens is that there are things there that they were trusting in, all these gods of fertility and this, that, and the other, and the Lord said, move from them. Get out from underneath their influence. You get that? Into a place where I will bless. So one of the things when the Lord asks you to move, even though it feels scary because the familiar is good to us, what he's actually doing is he's positioning you to receive grace. Do you get that? More grace. He's positioning you to see a bigger dream of God in your life. He's positioning you to receive more, but you can't receive more in a place where there's always a thousand things saying, trust me, trust me, trust me. So number one, he removes him from his idolatrous surroundings. Last thing is this. He was also moving him out of a comfort zone. Because the thing of going halfway was Abraham was clinging to his roots. I've talked about this. He had to have a funeral, literally. Terah had to die. And he had to bury the past before God could lead him into his future. That was the point. For some of you, I would just say this. You know, there are physical places, there are people, there are situations. Some of us are holding on to stuff, whether it's hurt or whatever. Even, like, do you know one of the biggest things we hold on to? Because it's mental when you think about it. It's dysfunction and hurt. But we cling to these things as safety blankets at times. We go back to those places and remember. And the Lord says, have a funeral, right? And bury it. Have a funeral and bury it. You know why? Because you can't bring that forward. You can't bring it forward. I guess what I'm trying to say is this in finishing is, don't confuse this as we get into the year. Trust in God and faith in God are words of action. They're not just concepts. How we grow, how we learn, and how we walk into, Abraham physically moved nations. So he physically moved. It will require inaction. I'm not saying you're only going to go move somewhere else. Please don't. Come back. And I'm not saying that. But when God speaks, it's not just to go, well, the Lord's spoken. It's for you to go, now, Lord, how do I respond? You've got to figure that one out. Because I refuse at this point to step into your world and go, you do. You give. You, okay? Listen to the Lord. Be led by the Spirit of the Lord and do what he says. He'll keep coming back to you. If the Lord is speaking something into your life today, and it's a thing today, it might just be one of the reasons that, you know, Because what happens is when you, like, how do you negate the grace of God in your life, the call to promise, dead things come to life, is you stick in self. Whenever you stick in self, okay, it negates the promise of God. Because the two don't coexist, you know that? If we work, he rests, right? We rest, he works. That's the choice. And so what I would say to you is this, is that listen to the Lord. It's not just a concept. And ask yourselves, if you're in couples, like, say, how do we positively respond to what grace has revealed to us? And, you know, I'm going to say this just one last time. When you're afraid and when you feel afraid, it doesn't mean that you don't have faith. All it means is that you're learning how to believe. Amen? It's gone very quiet in here. I wanted to bring that word to you today because I honestly, in my heart, just so want to see you walk into God's goodness this year. I honestly believe for all of you, there's some situations I know, some I don't, but I look at or I think about them and I go, what do those look like through the lens of God's grace? What are the dead things that he's bringing to life? What is the potential of the word in you that he's saying, no, it's just not going to be potential. You're going to live it, Samuel. You're going to see it. You're going to breathe it, experience it, and walk in it. You get that? Amen. Every day. And he says, so trust me. Right? You have faith, now believe. So whatever it happens to be, can I just encourage you? Just take a small step this week. One small step. And get, with all the emotion, with all the fear, take a step. And let's walk into the goodness of God this year. Amen? Why don't you stand to your feet? If we can get the worship guys up, that'd be awesome. Just stand up, close your eyes. And thank you. Thanks, buddy. Just close your eyes for a moment. And I'm just going to pray for you. If you guys get ready to sing, that'll be really great. Father, over your people here today, over every life, Father, I thank you that you have written great promises over them. Lord, those promises are your work. Lord, you light up, you delight when we are prospered. You delight when we are successful. You delight, Lord, whenever we are seeing grace upon grace in our lives. Father, I thank you for every person here who's in this room, everyone online. Father, I thank you that you have written great promises over their lives. And I say yes and amen to every one of them. Lord, dead things coming to life. Lord, potential seen in reality. Living every day cognizant and aware of the open hands of God to bless every moment of every day. So even the things that have been going through your heads today, Lord, situations, people, stuff, Lord, I believe that the Holy Spirit has just put his hand on some of those things today. And he's saying, enough of the old and the familiar. I'm declaring over you today a new day. I'm doing something new in your life, the Lord says. I'm lifting your head up and your heart up to see the potential of Jesus and his grace in your heart, in the hearts of your family. I'm going to resurrect and heal and bring back together those things which have been dysfunctional, fragmented, where the enemy has run riot. The Lord says, I'm going to bring all of that round and I'm going to make it new, the Lord says. That's my promise. Believe me, because the Lord has never said a promise over your life that he will ever break. It's impossible, the word tells us, for God to lie. And so I speak that over you. I speak a supernatural peace over you right now in Jesus' name. To believe God, to trust God, that he is working in this very moment, that he is in those situations. He is speaking to those people. He is moving in their hearts. He's, as Penny prayed earlier on, he's bringing people across their path. He is working And so we believe and we trust you, Lord. In our money, in our finances, Lord, in everything like that, Father, we take steps of faith this year to sow and be generous and trust that you are working. I believe that. You know, it's one of the things that when Abraham moved, whatever he left behind, it was multiplied way more to him, right? It's like, what, see whatever you think you're letting go of. The Lord always, think about John, in the Gospel of John, when the Lord does the very first miracle, everything, I just believe this is for somebody. See, when the Lord provides for you, like when they turned water into wine, it was better quality and more quantity. Every time. God never takes from you, he only adds to you. So whatever the enemy tells you that you're letting go of, all right, even when you sow, oh, you're letting go of that, the Lord says it comes back better quality, better quantity every time. Amen?
Amen.
We trust you, Lord, and we believe that word. And so we believe today. We believe. So let's take the bread and we say, thank you, Jesus. If you're sick this morning, I believe it's a good way to get whole. We take this bread in our hands, Lord, and we say, thank you for your body broken. Lord, thank you that as we eat, Lord, our declaration of faith is that you have made us whole. Amen.
Amen.
That is salvation, wholeness. Amen. From the tips of your toes to the top of your head, I speak health and wholeness over you right now. I speak restoration in your body right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we take the cup. Lord, we take the cup today and we say thank you for your blood poured out. First, we've sung about it today. Lord, without blood being shed, there's no remission of sin, the word says. What that means for us is because you bled, we go free. Father, every sin, past, present, and future, is dealt with. It has been removed from us, Lord. We are not sinners. You have called us saints. We are holy people. We are righteous people. Why? Because your blood was poured out for us. So we drink today and we say thank you, Father, for your grace and your work. Amen.